On my 7th birthday, my mother made me a race car cake. She'd stayed up the previous night until pale sunlight began to filter through the thin white and blue checkered curtains of our small kitchen window. I know this because I drank one too many cups of apple juice at dinner, and my bladder could take only so much. I remember how tired she looked when I peered into the kitchen on my way to the bathroom, and how all I cared about at the time was that she'd chosen the wrong colors for the frosting. I thought pink and purple were too girly. I don't remember much of my birthday party. Erica Sander tipped her chair so far back that she toppled right over, and her mother took her home early, scolding her about safety as she struggled with our barely functional front door. George McCullough showed us how he could snort milk through his nose. I threw a tantrum over the girly colors on my cake. My stepfather demanded that everyone leave early, red in the face, barely holding composure. I woke up in the hospital several hours later, confused, ears still ringing, dark bruises on my neck, near one eye, and obscuring both sides of my head. I couldn't hear the doctor's words as he smiled warmly and welcomed me back into consciousness. I couldn't hear my mother's cries. I couldn't even hear my own screams. My stepfather moved out several days later. My story begins 14 years after that birthday party. It wasn't too common for head trauma to result in deafness, but I'd never been all that lucky. Despite spending two-thirds of my life without hearing, I'd never quite adjusted to the lonely life of a deaf introvert. When I walked through the crowded streets of my city, I used to wish I could hear the conversation, the loud cars, the bustling of rushing businessmen. How foolish I was to wish I could hear at all. The warm glow of the setting sun told me that I'd once again lost track of time, wading through endless deadlines and paperwork. I scolded myself for working extra hours, robbing myself of precious moments of gloomy isolation back at my apartment. Finally, on the bus home, I settled my briefcase in my lap and began to map out my evening in my mind. It only took a few lurching stops to the bus for me to notice that the small screen that usually displayed the name of the upcoming stop wasn't working. Cursing silently under my breath, I strained my eyes to see through the foggy windows, but it was too blurry for me to make out any familiar shapes. Thinking quickly, I tapped the shoulder of the woman sitting beside me. She turned to look at me, clearly annoyed, and I held up a finger to signal her to wait. I hurriedly pulled out a piece of paper and messily scrawled the name of my stop and a short explanation of my situation in the hopes that she could tell me when the driver announced Parkside Drive. When I turned to show her the paper, she had already moved to a new seat. You'd think nearly a decade and a half of being deaf would bring me enough experience to deal with a situation like this, but I wasn't good at coping. I sighed and began to count the stops, trying to estimate how many stops I needed to sit through to get to my own. Annoyance bubbled under my skin. Without thinking, I angrily tore the small piece of paper into several pieces, clenching the crumpled bits in my fist.
Idiot!
I'm sorry? I looked up, irritated, searching for whoever had spoken. I had begun my silent cursing again when it hit me. I had heard. I took a quick glance around, confused, but much to my dismay, everyone around me had gone silent again. Was I going mad? I caught a glimpse outside as the door opened and closed. Damn it, I had just missed my stop. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I had spent the past 6 hours in bed, window wide open, straining to hear any hint of sound. I barely cared that I had to work the next day. I'd gotten a taste of what I'd missed for two-thirds of my life, and I wanted more. When a car sped past my building, illuminating my room in a bright white light, I finally got what I'd asked for.
What are you waiting for?
An answer, I suppose, I replied. My conversation partner did not deliver. I tried to rid my sleep-deprived mind of thoughts about what I'd heard, but my morning routine was distracted and messy. I examined myself in the mirror, trying to smooth away any stray shampoo bubbles I'd missed as I had absent-mindedly rinsed my hair. I had half turned away when something odd caught my eye. Something was not quite right. As I turned back to investigate, I placed my finger on the glaring inconsistency. My reflection hadn't moved an inch. I furrowed my brow and raised one hand into the air. My reflection did the same, steadily holding my gaze. Then he smiled. He waggled his fingers at me in a wave.
Not even a hello?
His voice was a high-pitched giggle. He grinned at me, his smile so wide I thought the tendons in his face might tear apart. I stared back, feeling something between relief and fear. What do you want? My voice was hoarse and shaky from years without use, but I tried to sound as firm as I could.
I wish what you want. After all, I am you.
And what is it that I want? I was nearly too afraid to ask.
Just a little justice.
Its smile grew wider before it began to fade to match my own expression once more. I took a deep breath, and so did my reflection. I slowly backed out of my bathroom and away from the mirror. He was right. I did want justice. It was almost 9 o'clock in the morning. I had emailed my boss to let her know I was sick. I suppose that wasn't really a lie. I was lightheaded and nauseous from my encounter, but I knew what I had to do. My first stop was the hardware store. I picked up a length of rope, but the voice of my reflection corrected me.
Duct tape will do better.
I haphazardly tossed a roll of duct tape and a crowbar onto the counter. Glancing at the digital numbers displaying my total, I handed the cashier a wad of crumpled bills and headed out with my supplies.
Now go to him. You know he never left the building.
My voice directed me onto a bus, and before I knew it, I was headed into an eerily familiar part of the city. The houses grew smaller and shabbier as we went, lawns losing their perfectly even green to be replaced with overgrown weeds and dead brown grass. Then, even the houses began to dwindle, towering dark, damp apartment buildings taking their place. A chill shook me to the bone, and my clammy hands quivered as though they were freezing. The bus let me off, and my heartbeat grew louder and rougher. I walked slowly until my voice commanded me to quicken my pace. The elevator groaned as it ascended, and I felt as though I might groan too. Anxiety racked my bones, but my steps had become sure.
Knock, you know he's home.
I sucked in one deep breath and rapped my knuckles against the door.
What?
A gruff voice responded from inside. I didn't dare answer.
What?
Footsteps pounded angrily, closer and closer. My stepfather yanked the door open, his face a deep shade of red that I remembered all too well. He opened his mouth, taken aback by the sight of the stepson he hadn't seen in nearly 14 years. But before he could speak, I had struck him with the crowbar. He crumpled to the ground, and I nearly didn't recognize the sight of him on the floor. He was weak, arms limp at his sides, powerless. I acted quickly, using the duct tape to restrain his arms and legs, placing one final piece over his mouth in the hopes of muffling any screams. I had just finished when my stepfather began to awaken.
Impeccable timing, just like in the movies.
My reflection began to giggle that high-pitched giggle, and all I wanted to do was cover my ears and drown it out. My stepfather's eyes fluttered open, widening suddenly as they met mine. He tried to scream, but it was no use. What's the matter, Dad? Cat got your tongue? I spat at him, the words he'd used to torment me before he left, taunting me as I'd cowered silently in fear. As he screamed muffled protests, I pulled a knife from my bag and held it to his throat. I bet you want me to make it fast, I sneered. Blood pounded in my head, and all I could think of was the sting of his fist against my face, his fingers tight around my wrists as he held me back from escaping. I let the tip of the blade slice into his skin, and his screams got more desperate. I didn't feel guilty as I toyed with him, mutilating his face, slicing out his tongue, removing his ears slowly, painfully. Blood dripped from my hands and from the deep gashes in his skin. I played the scene over and over in my head as I rode my bus home. I was almost frightened by the rush I'd gotten as I plunged my knife into his skull, finally finishing the job. I knew I'd get caught. I wasn't careful. I just didn't care.
Did he deserve to die?
My voice startled me out of thought. I rolled my eyes and ignored it. Did he deserve to die? I was asked again as I entered my apartment. Maybe, maybe not. At the very least, he deserved to pay, I finally responded. So you get to play God? You get to dole out punishment as you see fit? My voice giggled. You told me to do this. You're not so innocent yourself.
You're right, I'm not, my voice taunted. I am you, and you are guilty.
Guilty of what? Giving that piece of shit what he deserved?
You killed a man. You killed someone, and you don't even feel remorse.
I didn't know what to say. I headed to the bathroom to wash the last of his blood from under my fingernails. My eyes were drawn to the mirror above the sink, but I regretted looking up before my eyes even met my own. He grinned gleefully as he met my gaze.
You're a murderer. You're no better than me, he cackled.
I stared back at him. I wanted to scream. I wanted to shout and shake his shoulders and make him understand that I gave my stepfather no less than he deserved.
Killer, killer.
His laughs grew higher, wilder, tormenting me as he pointed an accusing finger.
What's the matter, son? Cat got your tongue?
He giggled. He stared me down as he lifted my bloody knife into view. I backed away instinctively, words still on the verge of spilling over my tongue. My reflection stayed put. I could hear my heart pounding in my ears. I stared in disbelief as he took his tongue between two fingers and raised the blade against it. My mouth was slightly agape, but I couldn't breathe, couldn't speak. Blood dribbled down his chin, and I could hear the droplets fall to the floor as well as if they were in the same room with me. I slowly lifted my fingers to my own lips to find that they were wet. Tentatively, I glanced down to find what I had feared. The floor was darkened at my feet with a gathering pool of blood. I opened my mouth, but while I felt a shriek escape my throat, all I could hear was the guttural choking laugh of my reflection. I will never speak again. I've broken every mirror in my apartment. All I can do now is sit and wait for the consequences of my crimes to unfold.
Thanks for listening to the No Sleep Podcast. If you love tuning in for these stories, please leave a review to let others know how much you enjoy listening. And don't forget to check out the link to our YouTube channel in the podcast description.